Welcome to the LeanZone.com podcast, where we discuss construction contracts, liens, and bonds. And now, our host, Alex Barthet.
My name is Alex Barthet. I am a board-certified construction lawyer practicing in downtown Miami. All we do is construction law. And today we're going to talk about how much credit you should extend to your customer. The agenda is going to be pretty straightforward. What are the reasons to extend credit? What are the ways that you can check credit? How much credit you should extend based on a series of factors we'll go through? How to spot problems once you've extended credit? And then we'll answer any questions that you have. With respect to those questions, make sure that you use the little chat box to submit your questions. We'll go ahead and answer those at the end. And make sure as well not to include any names in any of the questions that you ask. So let's get started. So what are the main reasons to extend credit? The first is customer loyalty. You have a customer that you've been doing business with for a long time, and instead of requiring them to pay cash up front or COD, you are willing to extend this good customer, this loyal customer, credit, meaning you would give them your service or good and they can pay you later. Another reason is the financial position of the customer. You feel secure in the fact that the customer will pay you, so you're willing to extend credit. The other financial position you need to consider, and we'll talk about this later as well, is yours. You have to understand that when you extend credit, you put that money at risk. There is not a guarantee always that you will get this money back. As a result, you have to be able to withstand some portion of non-payment when you decide to extend credit. There are some benefits to extending credit. We'll talk about those as well. But just be aware that extending credit when you as a business are not financially sound to absorb a loss of that credit is a factor that you need to consider. Industry standard. There are many industries that require credit to be competitive. So, for example, if you sell electrical supplies and you're an electrical supply house, most of them extend credit. And to the extent you don't extend credit, you would be at a competitive disadvantage. So the related reason is to gain a competitive advantage. So if you are in an industry that may not provide a lot of credit, you may gain a competitive advantage by extending more credit. And generally speaking, extending credit and extending more credit usually increases your sales. People that are not willing to buy sometimes may be more willing to buy if they can buy on credit to ease their cash flow situation. So let's talk about some ways to check credit. Absolutely, positively, the first thing that you need to have when you decide that you are going to extend credit is to have a credit application. This sounds very simple, but we have clients that extend credit on a regular basis and have no credit application. So what is a credit application? It can be as simple as a few lines on a piece of paper. It can be as complicated as many detailed questions that you expect to get answers to, as well as terms and conditions. So you'll notice that the more sophisticated businesses have more sophisticated credit applications. So what is the minimum amount of information you should be collecting on a credit application? So one would be the proper and complete business name. That means that if it's a corporation, it needs to end in Inc. If it's a LLC, it needs to end in LLC. So if we go back to my example as an electrical supply house, if you ask for the business name and they write Joe's Electric, you don't know if that's Joe's Electric Inc., Joe's Electric LLC. So you want to make sure that you get complete business name information. You want their current mailing address. You want their tax ID as well. If they are a licensed profession, you'd like to get their license number. As an example, again, going back to this electrical supply house, if you are a supply house selling to electricians and someone is coming to you to buy electrical supplies and they are not a licensed contractor to install electrical materials, you should be concerned that they're buying electrical materials without having a license. That's an indication of the manner in which they're conducting their business that should raise some red flags for you. So if the folks that you sell to are typically licensed, then you want to get that license number. Bank and business credit references. Ideally, you'll get 3 or 4. Typically, we see clients that have on their credit application 2 bank references and 3 business credit references. Now, collecting information is one thing. Verifying it is the key to properly managing credit. So when they give you your business name, you need to go to the Secretary of State and verify that information is correct, including their address and their tax ID number. If they give you a license number, you need to go to the state website that maintains the license information and verify that when they put in license number 123, that comes back with the business associated with the person that's asking for the credit. You need to follow the bank processes to verify information when you check the bank references. Same with business credit references. So collecting it is step one, but as important, if not more important than getting it, is verifying it. Because understand, if someone writes information that you don't verify, and it turns out not to be true, you're extending credit in a way that you didn't intend. So what are some of the other things you need to do to check credit? So before you pull anyone's background or credit information, corporate or personal, you need to get their written authorization. So typically at the bottom of a credit application is a sentence or two that authorizes you to pull their background and credit information before you do it. And they will sign this document allowing you to pull this information and make a credit decision. Again, more sophisticated businesses that have gone through this process typically incorporate a credit application with a much longer and detailed authorization to pull credit, as well as terms and conditions of sale that are all signed at the same time. So what are some services that you can use to check credit? So one, and probably the most commonplace and popular, is Dun & Bradstreet, dnb.com. Another is TLO, which is at tlo.com, which was recently purchased by TransUnion. Cortera, which is at cortera.com, has a business credit service as well. Now, all of these three services are typically paid services. Sometimes you can pay by the search. Sometimes you can buy subscriptions so that you pay every month or every year and you get a certain amount of searches. The information that you pull from these services, again, you need to verify it. You need to review it, and then you need to verify it, making sure that the information that's provided matches the other information that you have obtained from this person seeking credit. Another place to go is the Secretary of State, which I mentioned before. So if the person that's filling out the credit application says that they're the president, go to the Secretary of State and verify that, in fact, they are the president.
This episode is brought to you by the Miami Construction Forum. This invitation-only group of construction professionals of all sizes and trades meets monthly for an informal lunch-and-learn session on current topics of interest, from getting paid and safety to bonding and insurance. To see the upcoming topics and request your invitation, visit MiamiConstructionForum.com.
So other ways you can get information in addition to those services. So there's a lot of information nowadays on the internet in the form of public records. So there are certain recorded documents you can get from the county where the business is located. So if you Google, let's take an example, Broward County public records or Broward County recorded documents, you will find the website that typically allows you to search and see the records that are recorded in that county. Most counties have an online recorded document search and retrieval system. And with it, you can look for liens. They may be tax liens. Maybe it's construction liens. So you can see how, if they're liening construction projects in order to get paid. Maybe they told you about a job that they are expecting money on, but you look in the recorded documents and you see that they've signed releases. You can see judgments both in favor of your customer or against your potential customer, as well as any property transfers. So mortgages, deeds, all of those documents would be recorded. So first you go to Google, you type in the county that you want and recorded documents. It'll take you to that page, and then you can run a search based on the name of your customer or potential customer. Other places online you can get information are the property appraiser's website for the county where you may think, where you think that the potential customer may have property. So again, if we take our example of Broward County, you'd say, you type into Google Broward County property appraiser, and with it you can find current property ownership information. So if the business says that they own their warehouse, you can go to the county, you can type in the name of the company, and if they own their warehouse, that should show up on the property appraiser's website. It will also tell you, if on the property appraiser's website, if they're paying their property taxes. Maybe they own it, but they're delinquent in their taxes. It will show up on that website. Court records are also a good piece of information. Have they been sued, or are they suing anybody? So you'd go to Google, you'd type in the name of the county plus county court records, so Broward County court records, and that information will bring you to the section of the county website where you can look for open or closed civil and criminal cases. More and more courts now not only have the list of the cases and the docket, which are all the documents filed in the court case, many cases now, many court systems now have all of those actual pleadings, the documents filed with the court. Many of those are available for you to view for free online. So there's a tremendous amount of information that's available to you in the public records, and this is a way to get that information. I would never underestimate just the power of Google, especially with somewhat unique names for individuals and businesses. So if you just type in their name in Google, you'll find online reviews, license complaint, possibly mugshots, bankruptcies, related companies, and their website, which also is a good source for you to look at for information. Maybe they've told you one thing, but their website suggests another direction of the business that you'd like to know. These are all places that you need to go, both the paid services, the court records, and Google searches, in that you need to collect and analyze before you make a credit decision. So now that we have all this information collected, how much credit should you extend to a specific customer? So the first thing you need to know is that this is not an exact science. A lot of people would like to suggest that, you know, if you look at all these factors, then you have ranges within which you can extend credit. And that's typically true, but there we see it on a regular basis where one client in an industry may not extend credit to somebody, yet another party in the same industry decides to extend credit to that potential customer. You know, there are a lot of factors that go into how much credit you should extend. So let's run through some of it. So one of the things you need to consider is how much are you willing to put at risk? That is dependent on lots of different business factors that you will need to glean from the business owner and your sales team, because sales never wants credit to slow down their ability to sell. Sales knows that the more credit that they can extend to a customer or offer to a customer, the more likely the customer will buy more, and therefore sales, if they're on a commission basis, will get a bigger commission. So always realize sales is always wanting credit to be higher than maybe you as the credit manager decide. You also have to determine what the business direction is. Are we looking to grow? Are we very busy? Where are we getting this money from that we're extending credit from a cash flow basis? Are we funding it ourselves? Do we have a bank loan that we are using to fund potentially delinquent accounts or cash on the street for cash flow? So those factors need to be figured in to how much you're willing to put at risk. The single largest factor that we see in how our clients extend credit is how secured the debt is. So in construction, lien and bond rights are critical. We typically see clients extending credit, rather significant credit, based on a credit history that probably without the security wouldn't warrant that much credit. But they're willing to do it based on the fact that they understand the lien and bond law, which is something that you need to learn and understand, and that they have a strong process in place to secure their lien and bond rights, knowing that if the customer doesn't pay, they have the ability to put a lien on a piece of property or make a claim against a payment bond. And with that security, the lien and bond rights security, customers in construction typically are willing to extend quite a bit of credit. And the customers know this. So to the extent that you are going to extend credit to a customer based on lien and bond rights, you need to be absolutely certain that you are properly and timely perfecting your lien and bond rights. And that's where Sunray comes in. Using Sunray allows you to know that the notices are going out on time and that your liens are being properly secured. So if you are basing your credit on lien and bond rights, make sure that you have a strong and tight procedure to secure those lien and bond rights. So UCC is not that common, but to the extent you provide materials that may go into an inventory, you can secure those that debt with UCC, which is recorded with the Secretary of State. But I would say after lien and bond rights, the next most common way that our clients in construction secure their right to be paid is a personal guarantee. Just know that in Florida, personal guarantees of one party of a marriage, so maybe it's the wife that signs the guarantee and not the husband, or the husband but not the wife, that joint property is not attachable, meaning that if the husband signs the guarantee and they don't pay and you get a judgment against the husband, but their property is owned jointly, so maybe they have a property in Tennessee but it's held jointly, it's going to be difficult to get that property. If they have a bank account and it's held jointly, you may not be able to get the money in the joint account, even though the husband who you have a judgment against is a party to that account. So a personal guarantee of one spouse is good. A personal guarantees of joint spouses, husband and wife, is the gold standard. In Florida, we have a strong homestead protection, so just know that getting attaching someone's home that is homesteaded appropriately is next to impossible. So if they have a paid off house, you should not be considering that in your credit decision unless they're willing to give you a mortgage on their house, which most people are not willing to do. Finally, consider starting slowly. You know, just like when you get a credit card for yourself, the credit card company doesn't give you a $50,000 credit limit when you apply. They give you a few hundred dollars when you have very little credit history. And then they extend it over time based on a pattern of payment. You should do the same thing. Don't overextend credit. Start slowly and then consider extending that credit a little bit at a time. So how to spot problems with this with credit once you've extended credit. Look for a pattern of late payments. Look for a pattern of different buying schedules. Maybe they bought very little and now they're buying a lot, or vice versa. Maybe they're selling assets. Maybe there's a significant change in personnel, specifically in the upper management of the business. Maybe they're reducing the number of locations, or they're asking for additional credit while there's still an extensive amount of credit that is on the street. But you won't know many of those things unless you do the following. Communicate actively with your sales team. Rerun credit annually. Most people don't do this. You know, when you run credit, that's a snapshot in time of the credit history of that person or that business. Things can change in a year. You should have a practice in place that every year, maybe you do it January 1st of every year, you rerun credit on all or some of your customers because you need to get a new snapshot of what the business is like. This is especially important in construction as the market changes. So the business may be doing great as a whole, but because the market is changing, the credit picture looks very different. Check on job statuses, especially if you have lien and bond rights. Meet with the client and listen. Listen to their questions and comments and what they're telling you, because there are going to be clues in what they tell you that may impact the credit that you decide to extend or continue to extend. And finally, don't be afraid to reduce credit or eliminate credit for customers that are causing problems. Be wary of a situation where you decide to, where you say to yourself, well, he owes us so much that if we shut him off, we're not going to get paid. That's a very dangerous formula, because if you keep extending credit, you are now putting even more money at risk. Thanks, everybody. Have a nice day.
Thanks for listening to the LeanZone.com podcast. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or in your favorite podcast app. For articles, videos, and forums on this and other construction topics, head over to the LeanZone.com.